Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Zhu, and I'm your host. Today is the last episode with James. Hello, James. How are you?
I'm doing well, Sammy. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. Well, I'm so excited about this last episode. Normally, the last episode is about future vision for Asian Americans. So we're going to talk about future visions, especially for South Asians. Now, my number one question, what are the potentials for South Asians to advance God's kingdom?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I would say as we reach South Asians here and disciple them to become disciple makers themselves, they are so well connected with their families back home. Most of my South Asian peers are going back to South Asia, on a sometimes yearly basis or at least every other year. But they are like many of them are, you know, communicating with their family on a daily basis through WhatsApp or through text messaging or even calling them on a daily basis. And so, as our world becomes more globalized, just the opportunities for them to even reach their families and their home contexts from right here in North Carolina are more and more a reality. And we've heard stories of this happening, of just people from a Hindu or Muslim background coming to faith and then using electronic means such as WhatsApp or text messaging to share the gospel with their families back home. So in that way, as many South Asian countries are becoming increasingly closed to Western missions, as visa requirements are becoming harder and harder and more stringent. And there's been a great exodus in a few of these countries over the last several years of Western missionary organizations for political reasons and other reasons as well. And so the prayer is that that South Asians themselves will reach their own people. And so that's one of the biggest potentials and that we're looking forward to in the years to come.
Yeah, that's very exciting. But what would keep them from that potential? What would hinder them from living that potential?
I think there is a lot of fear. Like so for somebody to come to faith from a Hindu or Muslim background or whatever their faith background is, it's not only like their religion, but it's their society. And it's really attached to their family identity. And so there's a lot of shame that would be put on them oftentimes. And many people who do come to faith when they kind of go public with their family do get ostracized and shamed and even kind of rejected by the family. So that we've seen that happen before where new believers do get rejected from their families. So that could be a potential break from that happening. We don't support what's called extractionism, where we don't say, if somebody comes to faith, they need to completely, reject their family because their family is like Hindu now. Like there's been a history of that in missions where they so pull that new believer out of their original culture that they can't have any influence on their original culture. But at the same time, I mean, Jesus does have, again, talking about radical, he has some very radical statements, on the sake of his name, like father will reject son and mother will reject daughter. And there will, he says, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. And so we want as best as possible for that new believer to to remain at peace with their family. I mean, Paul says, or I think Peter, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Mm-hmm. But there does come a time where, you know, by you following Christ, if they're rejecting you and you've done everything in your power to stop that rejection, you know, like you've just got to accept it, you know, and that's what Jesus has called us to ultimately. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of a rabbit trail, but I think that social rejection can be a big barrier to seeing this happen. Mm.
James, let's talk about second generation South Asian Americans. A lot of listeners for this podcast are second generation or third generation Asian Americans. How are second generation South Asian Americans different from first generation South Asians?
Hmm. Yeah, so many of the second gen, you know, they're kind of forgetting their mother tongue. You know, these younger kids, a lot of them aren't speaking their native language, and so. Yeah, that globalizing, you know, I just mentioned in the last question where there's the potential of reaching family back home. If the family back home doesn't speak English, then that second gen person will have a much harder time communicating the gospel to their grandparents or their uncles and aunties back home if they don't speak their mother tongue. Yeah, so there's some cultural disconnect that happens. In a lot of ways, these second gen Asian Americans, like in a lot of ways, they're actually becoming more American than they are like Indian or Pakistani. And they would have more in common with a lot of their American peers at school or in the workplace than they would with like their families back home. There's kind of a sad story, like some friends of ours, the husband, his visa application was denied, and he's been living here for over 10 years. Both of his daughters were born here, and they're thoroughly Americanized. And so the daughters, who are good friends with my daughter, they're just lamenting actually going back to India. They're like, that's not my home. They're very, very sad about it. Like when my wife went and visited with them a couple weeks ago, she just saw it in the girls' faces that they were just very, very sad, very distraught about this, you know. So they really are becoming Americans.
Yeah. How do you think that second or next generation South Asian Americans collaborate with other churches for Christ? Not just Indian churches, but, you know, churches in general.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I personally believe that this ministry that we're doing needs to be as cross-cultural as possible, not only just with, yeah, we're crossing cultures to reach the lost, but it also needs to be cross-cultural in the partnership. Mm-hmm. There are many South Asian Christians here in the Triangle, and some of them have been living here for some time. There's definitely some second gen, you know, young people that are followers of Christ that are here, that are active in their churches. There's a young man that I know of he's actually now seeking out going to seminary. Like he's really kind of caught a vision to be involved in ministry, and I think that there's great potential as we work together, American, and so I would say Anglo-American or European Americans working with our Indian Americans or our Pakistani Americans. And I love using that hyphen. Like, I don't like just saying you're American just because you're white, but you're like, there's many different categories of American. And I love to use that hyphen now. Like, I really don't think of myself as as an American, but as an Anglo-American. And that's kind of a rabbit trail. But I think that there's potential as we work together. Mm. And I've had some of my Indian American friends say, you know, when I try to get into spiritual conversation with my Hindu neighbor or friend, they'll just kind of sometimes just shoot me down, you know, because they're like, oh, they were kind of expecting that from me because they know I'm a Christian, and they'll even kind of think of me as kind of like a traitor or something for having, you know, in many generations ago, like my grandparents converted from Hinduism to following Jesus. But they've shared with me that, well, you can actually start the conversation a lot of times mm-hmm. with a Hindu, and they'll be more respectful, and they'll listen to you in the beginning. And then I'll say that my South Asian friend, they've got all of that cultural knowledge, the language. Mm. Even though they might not have been Hindu themselves, they've got much more knowledge and understanding of Hinduism or of Islam than I do. And so there's this great partnership that happens where I can kind of, using a baseball analogy, I can get like the single, you know, where I can get a runner on base by starting the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then as I'm partnering with my South Asian believer friend, he can get that run batted in as he continues the conversation and closes it. And so a lot of times when we do different ministry events, we love to go out. I love to go out two by two, just like Jesus sent them out two by two in Luke 10. And I love to go out, if possible, if I've got like a South Asian brother to go out with me. I think we work much better together.
Mm, yeah, that's great. What movement of God do you see among South Asians in the next 5 to 10 years down the road?
Yeah, so South Asians here in the U.S.?
In the U.S.
Yeah.
In general, yeah.
Well, I think that what we're experiencing right now with even the fact that we're having this podcast here in 2019 is kind of unprecedented. I mean, like in the last, 10 years ago, I don't think that this was a conversation that was happening. Mm-hmm. But South Asians were here, and they were here en masse. But I think that there has been a paradigm shift in the way that we think of missions. Just historically, as Southern Baptists, we've kind of defined missions as being overseas. But I think with our North Carolina State Baptist Convention and other state conventions, and even our some of our missions agencies, we're starting to realize that hey, the very same unreached people groups that we're spending all these resources, like time and money, resources. Sending all these people half the way across the world, those same people groups are coming to the U.S. And so, like Paul says in Acts 17, 26 through 28, that God has made from one man all nations and has appointed their times and boundaries so that some may seek him. And so we see in that passage that God is sovereign over the immigration of peoples. Like immigration is not a political question. Yeah, I mean, I think there are questions that our government does have to answer, but like for us as followers of Jesus, this is a missions question. Mm. It's we really like should put the political issues on the shelf as followers of Jesus and just say, you know, that person next door, you know, you asked me in the very first episode what one of my key verses is. Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, and a new commandment I've given you, you're to love them as you're love one another as I have loved you. And so we just need to ask ourselves, who is my neighbor? Like that Pharisee came to Jesus, and Jesus gives the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we need to say, come to the point where we realize that international person next door is my neighbor, and I've got like. It's incumbent upon me to first love them, and the best way that I can love them holistically is by sharing the gospel with them. So to answer your question, all that coming together is like, I think that we're kind of on the tip of the iceberg of this, like, reaching the nations here. Mm-hmm. We're just getting started with this. And mm-hmm. I think right now some of the groundwork is being laid here in North Carolina for reaching South Asians. And my family and I are like, we're committed to it. There's other families that are committed to it full time to kind of help establish this this foundation. And so I'm really encouraged that as each of us develops our teams and continues to multiply our efforts, I'm encouraged to know that in the years to come that 40,000 plus South Asians living in and around the triangle of North Carolina, Raleigh, Durham, will at least have heard the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I'm encouraged that as gospel seeds are sown and planted, that God will give the growth. And so, yeah, we have great expectations that God will bring a harvest in from mm-hmm. our South Asian neighbors and friends.
Great. As a mobilizer yourself, what would you say about the next steps for local churches to participate this movement of God, this future work of God among South Asians?
Yeah. Yeah. So first, I mean, you have to identify if you've got South Asians in your community. So I mentioned that, I think, in the second episode that there's you know, you want to identify if there's businesses owned or if there's restaurants, like an Indian restaurant, or you want to identify if there are neighborhoods that have South Asians in them. We've found that a lot of times South Asians, unlike other international people groups here in America, they tend to cluster together. Mm-hmm. They usually like to live in neighborhoods or apartment complexes together. And so it's actually sometimes a lot easier to find them. Like once you've found like one or two, you can usually find a larger community around them. So first we have to identify where they're at, discover them. And then second, we need to start befriending them, start spending time with them. Education is key. I think, you know, if you've got some Indian Christians locally that you can start befriending, and you can start asking, you know, some cultural questions of them. And that's been really key for us. And a lot of our partner churches here, we've tried to get them connected with other Indian Christians in their community. And because like once we start, if we can't befriend our Indian Christians, our Indian American Christians, how much harder will it be to befriend our Hindu Indian neighbors,
right?
And so I think one of the first things is we just need to start befriending our Christian neighbors and friends from South Asia, and then as we get educated on cultural things, I mean, I really advocate, you know, like we still need to go to the ends of the earth, and so for churches to kind of evaluate their mission strategy. If they've got a lot of South Asians in their backyard, and they've got an opening in their overseas missions partnerships, it goes a long way to take a group from your church to South Asia, to India or to Nepal. And when you come back, you've got all of that, all of those resources, you know, that you've learned from being there. You also just see the great needs, you know, firsthand, you know, where you can just literally there's parts of South Asia where you could talk to 1,000 people and you'll be hard pressed even if you find one who considers himself a follower of Jesus. And so that really starts pressing on your heart, and then you really, you can start seeing your neighbors through those lenses and realize, wow, like I can't go to India on a regular basis or to Pakistan on a regular basis, but I've got an Indian or a Pakistani that like is right across the street, and that urgency that exists in their home country, I can at least start to make a dent in that urgency by reaching my neighbor here. there's so many resources out there. There's some good books. Engaging with Hindus is a really good book by Robin Thompson. It's really practical, really easy read. There's another one, Disciple Making Among Hindus by Tim Schultz. That one's good too. I think honestly, like, not being intimidated. A lot of people say, well, you're an expert on it, or you speak the language. But I'd say, no, like, it's a lot of it is just common sense. Just loving your neighbor as you love yourself. You don't have to speak the language or be an expert in their culture. Like, that is one of the first things I teach people as we give trainings on reaching our South Asian neighbors, is we go through the list of all the different languages spoken in our community. And then at the very bottom in bold, I've got English. Because unlike many other immigrant communities in the U.S., most South Asians, they're learning English as a first language. And they're from childhood, from, you know, very early age, they're speaking English. I think that comes from by nature of just having been a British colony in the past. Like, they're learning English where a Chinese, or like I was talking with Sammy before, like Korean or Hispanic, like, they're not learning English before they come here. But most Indians, like, they come here and they speak fluent English. You know, I would say like 95% of them before they arrive in the U.S. So that makes it a little bit like lower bar for our American Christians to go reach them.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the practical tips, and it's been very, very helpful. Thank you, James, for sharing your personal stories and ministries and future visions.
Yeah, thank you, Sammy.
Well, thank you, listeners. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much, and I will see you in the next episode.